Hey guys, welcome to Do You Believe. This episode, we'll talk about sex and relationships. My name's Terrell.
I'm Jared.
And we'll go in depth of what we ran into, whether it be relationship and when sex is involved. And as Christians, what does God think on these issues? Alright guys, like I said in intro, we're going to talk about relationships and sex. This is an interesting issue coming from me being single and Jared being fairly newly married. So this is an interesting topic, and I want to propose Jared this question. And my question is, how was the transition from being single to married?
To me, there was no transition actually. The day after we got married, we went to work, and it was like back to normal kind of thing. So I won't say there was a transitional period, I would say, but it's like a hold that there's no going back at all. So once you're in it, you're in it. You know, as Christians, you know, there's no grounds for divorce except for infidelity. And so no matter what, you have to work it out with that partner. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to stay, because as, you know, Paul mentions that we, you know, if we separate from our partner, but not to divorce, because God does not like divorce. But we have to just kind of stick it out kind of thing. But I love it. It's been 10 months married. I wouldn't really have it any other way. It's just a weird feeling that, you know, I think a lot of guys notice that when they get a relationship or get married, you know, there are a whole bunch of females that seem to come out the woodworks kind of thing. But yeah, there's nothing different, I would say. So I think to start this whole thing off, I think we should set grounds for relationships and sex, I would say, for what God has ordained holy and not what the world thinks. Because now sex is so put as an act instead of actual relationship. So we know God has ordained sex to be a good thing. And in terms of even nudity, a good thing and all that stuff. Everything God created is good. But we seem to take the emotional connection out of sex and made it just a physical act. And there's no connection behind it. You have all these people that are saying, you know, they have one night stands, you have pornography, you have all these things that seem to take sex and relationships out the perspective that God has created for it to be. And that causes a huge struggle for a lot of people, because there are a lot of men that actually are addicted to porn. There are a lot of people that go bounce from relationship to relationship, or bounce from women to women, or same thing for women. Women, you know, can be addicted to porn, and the same thing, bounce from man to man. So there's no grounds on, you know, what a relationship or what sex is compared to what God has created it to be. So you understand the way that God has created it to be, you see how great it is, how great of a connection it is to other people. And so when people sit there and say that, you know, they can have sex without an emotional connection, I think that's a lie. So eventually there is you could have probably that one act, even though I wouldn't say you should do it, there's going to be a small emotional connection with it, and it's going to get stronger each and every time.
Right. I believe that those are called soul ties. No matter how you may be like, well, I'm just, you know, I'm emotionally dead, or, you know, when I did it, it didn't mean anything. When it's all said and done, it does. You may think it not important when it's all said and done, but slowly but surely, it becomes something that gets bigger and bigger as time progresses. You do start getting emotionally attached, and you still start getting attached to something that you probably didn't even want to become attached with in the first place.
They said the whole thing about being emotionally dead. You don't want to be emotionally dead in a relationship. And that, I think that trying to be emotionally dead in a relationship is trying to have control over the other person. Is that when one person has emotional connection with you, but you don't have it with them, you could try to morally think of a good reason why to do things you're doing. So if you're cheating on her, or you're lying to her, you're doing all this other stuff kind of thing. When you sit there and say you're emotionally dead, you're trying to find a cop-out and sit there and say for a valid reason to do the things you want to do. And it's not a good thing to be emotionally dead to anybody, because it hurts both of you in the long run. So now if you say you're emotionally dead, eventually you could kill your emotional side, I think, initially. And that causes a relationship problem with everybody, because now there's no connection with anybody that you have, no matter if it's a romantic connection or just a friendly connection. There's no emotion attached to that relationship.
Right. I feel that a relationship should encompass emotions as well as a physical aspect. For me, my first relationship was my family. I learned how to love and care, and I knew what it felt like to be upset and angry and all those initial emotions. And then as time progressed and I got older in my teenage years, when you wanted to have like a girlfriend, that's when I realized what being quote unquote that puppy love stage, where you're just infatuated and just want to be around that person at every chance that you get. And then the older I got in that teen stage, nothing in relationships, in my relationship, I found out that, you know, some things don't work. So you hit the heartbroken stage where you feel like the person, your significant other, did you so wrong that, you know, you can never bounce back. And then you get in that woe is me and mopey stage where you have your head hang low and you feel like people playing sad songs when you walk down the street, because every person you look at looks so happy, holding hands with their friends and their boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever the case may be, and you look all lonely McGee by yourself talking about, oh man, I wish I had, or what went wrong, or whatever the case may be. But I think that once you understand, your relationship with God will give you a better relationship with your significant other.
Yeah. That's a huge thing, because we're told to, you know, love our wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for it, so that she'll be washed, that she'll be cleansed. I think we should define the idea of love, right? Because in the beginning of any relationship, you had the honeymoon phase that you mentioned, the puppy dog phase, where you just want to be around each other all the time and everything like that. Eventually, reality kicks back in where you both have to work. You both have all the stuff that's going on at this one type of moment. And you somewhat drift apart, but not necessarily. It's not to the point where you thought it was back during that honeymoon stage. But nothing seemed to change. Nothing seemed to have changed. I think as a pastor, Tony Evans has defined love. So love is not about the person that's doing the loving, but it's the person that's being loved.
Okay.
So their general needs, you always look out for them and do what they have to do. And so it takes a chip off your shoulder, because as we know, it goes from the Heavenly Father to Christ, to man, to woman. And so with somebody behind you each and every time, you don't have to worry about this other pieces that, you know, about what you need. When you're giving that person in front of you what they need, your back is already covered, because you have, like, man has Christ.
Correct.
Or wife has a man and has Christ and has the Heavenly Father. It just goes to the chain of effect where you have the Heavenly Father on the throne, that nothing's going wrong, that you're going to need everything. He's giving you everything that you need to live a holy life and to do, you know, his will. He provides everything. So I think to define love as not just an emotional connection, but actual a service connection with others, because we're called to love, you know, love our neighbors, love ourselves. And that love doesn't just, I think we get confused. We try to think of love as an emotional connection or romanticized love. So how can I love my neighbor in that type of manner? But the love that you actually will give your life for your neighbor, just as Christ gave his life for us, that's the ultimate love that we could ever see.
Even nowadays, love seems like it's a conditional word. It's not like, you know, I love you because everything is going good right now. I love you because your life is going grand. You got everything set. But when things get shaky, it's like, I don't know if I love you right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could chill with you right now, because it's conditional. And you have to learn that God's love is unconditional. He loves you in your highs, your lows, when you up, when you down, when you looking fresh or busted. You know, there's no gray, there's no old today. You know, I love you on Monday and hate you on Tuesday. His love goes everlasting throughout all eternity. He'll never, ever, 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 ever change his way or his thoughts to you.
It's funny because we mentioned that saying is conditional kind of thing. I was reading a book by author and pastor Tim Keller.
I forgot the name of the book. I know it was The Meaning of Marriage, so I'm reading that book now. I think it was Jesus the King. He talks about love. And that term of conditional love is an artificial love that we always come up with. So my view when in a relationship is saying that, you know, if somebody asks you, why do you love your wife or why do you love your girlfriend? To me, if you're able to give a solid, valid reason of things that she does, that you say that's why you love her, you're only loving her for those conditions. So now to ask yourself the question is, if my wife stopped cooking for me, she stopped cleaning the house, she started dressing mummy, she started doing all these things you said that you loved her for the purpose, the reason, would you still love her after all the things are dead and gone? Because the physical aspect doesn't last forever. The spiritual connection lasts forever. So as we get married, we learn that in Christ we become one flesh. There's no separation. We are one. And so there's no breaking apart that. There's no separating for, you know, no matter what you're going to be one, no matter what. No matter if she's on the other side of the earth and you're, you know, down in South Africa doing whatever you're doing. You're always going to have that connection. And that true love constantly keeps you bound together. That knowing that this person is always going to have my back, no matter what the situation, even if I break my leg or become paralyzed, he or she will come behind me and help take care of me in those situations and help be my strength as I go through these tough trials or whatever's going on.
And in a relationship, so I propose this question to you, Jared. So being married, was there a adjustment? All right, put it like this. I know that some people would say, you know, you shouldn't move in or, you know, yeah, move in with somebody before you're married. Do you, in your opinion, we're not going to, you know, do you believe that you should see the house life before you get married? In the sense of, we're not talking about like any fornication or anything like that, but just living in the, you know, in that together setting.
I see the valid reasons why people say we should move in together, because it's kind of like a test kind of thing. Say, is this going to work out? But me and my wife had an argument about this, because I was willing to move in together before we got married. And I spoke to my mother. My mother said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. My mother, I've always grown up thinking I'm always the one correct, always the right one out of everything. So I decided to listen to my mother. My wife got upset about it. And said, oh, you wanted to do it. Then you talked to your mother and she said no, kind of situation. But I understand the valid reasons. But I think with the whole moving thing, and you cannot take out the fornication part, because you moving in and not being married leads to that stage. Okay. You living together and sleeping in the same bed and doing all that stuff leads to not honoring God's covenant. And so Paul says, keep the marriage bed honorable. And that all falls into it of not being, of respecting each other's boundaries. And saying, you know, I want to keep you honorable and holy. So I'm not going to try to sleep with you in that position. It's a tough thing. I definitely didn't survive it. I'll tell you right now. But me and my wife didn't move in until after we got married.
Okay.
And I'm going to say things change. I think it's more of a joy because we're constantly asked to get to be together. She lived in Jersey. I lived in New York. So anytime we got to see each other was during the weekends. And so now we're together every single day. And nothing really has changed in our relationship that, you know, I guess I don't get sick of seeing her. And I think when I try, for some reason, I think a lot of people there was a study that people that move in together before they get married divorce faster than people that move in after they get married.
Okay.
I got to do research on that and remember which research that was, but I remember coming across it randomly. I would stay away from it, me personally. Just wait till you're married, just being patient, because you saying I got to move into it with her now, just being impatient. If a certain situation pops up where you have no choice, that's like the last resort where you're about to become homeless.
Right.
Then, you know, if anything, you gotta sleep on the couch. Don't sleep on the same bed. You gotta sleep in whatever side room kind of situation or whatever, you know, kind of do what you have to do.
From a single perspective, I don't think that, you know, you should move in with somebody if you know that you're not gonna go out or marry that person. Like, that shouldn't be even a thought in your head. It's on TV and you see it everywhere that when you automatically get a boyfriend or girlfriend, you want to wife the person up and move in with the person and just be with the person all the time. But you have to realize that, like, piggybacking on what Jared said, that's not, you're not honoring God, nor you're not respecting the relationship that you have with that person, especially if it's a God-centered relationship. You don't want to do anything that's contradictory to his word. So I think as Christians, we have to tread lightly on that whole moving in factor, because that may have some detrimental effects.
I think also the whole moving thing early tends to fall with the whole sex thing. And that causes a problem because a lot of people base the relationship over sex-wise. So if a wife stops having sex with a husband, he's gonna get divorced or stuff like that. You know, we are obligated, because Paul says that our bodies are not our own. So my body is my wife's. My wife's is mine. And we are to do our husband wifely duty and, you know, have sexual relationships with each other. I think the whole relationship thing is trying to figure out, is your relationship based on godly information or worldly information? Is your relationship based on what God has said, how a man should be in a relationship, or how the world says you have to be in a relationship? Because we both know that the world just says you don't need to be in a relationship. You can sleep with 25 girls and still have your girlfriend there, and she has no choice but to agree with it. If she doesn't, then she loses out kind of situation. But it's really looking at the whole perspective and seeing what type of relationship you want, because we know the godly relationship, the one that God and Christ are the Father and Christ are the center of your relationship, that's the strongest relationship.
Yes.
Those relationships that are people have been married for 50, 60 years, and even though they're still bigger, because that's just what they do, they're still going to be together. So, like, I think at my brother's church, there's an older couple, and she's like in her 80s. I guess the husband's like in his 90s. And my wife told me one day, I guess he dropped candy on the floor. And she started nagging him during church. But they've been together for I don't know how many years. It's just still that relationship there that doesn't seem to change in there. That they're always going to be with each other. Because that's the relationship that is God-centered. That God's always going to be in the center of it. And that's the covenant. Just like Adam, like the Adam and Eve were supposed to see from the beginning. And hold on to that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, going to the sex issue, I know in the world that they say sex sells, and watching TV and being single, it seems like that's all that they throw out at you. You need to get a girl, you need to do this with the girl, you got to get it in with the girl, you know, whatever the case is. And it seems that if you're not with somebody, you're nobody, because it makes it seem that if you're, you know, by yourself or if you're single, you can't be happy or you can't achieve that type of space where you're, you know, confident and secure with yourself. And being single, I take it as a preparing time for my future wife when she comes, when I meet her, when I see her, because it's a prepping time. It's time for me to get myself right. It's time for me to figure out what I need to do and especially duties as a man, because I don't want to bring a female into a home that's not fit or prepared for her.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you have everything covered and all your T's crossed and your I's dotted before you take anybody into your home or your place. Because if you're a wreck, how are you going to bring somebody else into your mess?
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared spiritually, naturally, and monetary for that case. So when you bring somebody in your situation and bring somebody in your world, quote unquote, per se, that it's a smooth transition. So I guess we're coming up on that time. As a final thought, I just want to say, just keep Christ-centered in your relationship. Whether you're single or you're married, as long as God's the center of your relationship with God, then everything around, whether it be your relationship with others, whether it be girlfriend, boyfriend, whether it be just having a conversation with a friend, as long as you keep God centered, then you're good to go.
When sex is placed in the boundaries that God has placed it on, it's a great, beautiful thing. And so understanding where sex is in a relationship, and when is it called for, and who should be doing it compared, you know, just being, you only have sex when you're married, in layman's terms. That will take a total chip off your shoulder. It's going to be tough, but fighting through to the end, because I think like Tony Evans says, we're not supposed to date to marry, but marry to date. What else? So sex putting that in that ground of God's, you'll see the difference between what the world says and what Heavenly Father says. Relationship wise, let Christ be the center of your relationship, and don't let anybody deter you from that. And love truly outside of emotions, and love with acts. That's how you truly show that you love somebody, is when you act, and not just saying, you know, I care about you or speaking about it. And yeah, I think that's it.
All right. So I mean, yeah, definitely. Love is an action word. You know, love should be a verb, because you know you have to show affection. You have to show that you care for that person, and that's what God wants for us. He wants to show Himself, His love to you, and He wants to show you in His works and how He moves, that you're the apple of His eye and you're on His mind. Just, you know, keep God first, and you know, let Jared tell you the ways that, you know, you can contact us and plug us in.
You can contact us on facebook.com/doyoubelieve. If you have any prayer requests or any suggestions or any topics you would like to hear, we would love to hear what you have to say and put on a future episode. You can do our Tumblr at find us at Do You Believe Podcast. Twitter, you can find us on @DoYouBelievePodcast. Pretty much kind of all the same across the platform. You can also email us @DoYouBelievePodcast@gmail.com with anything.
All right, well, thank you. I mean, definitely please hit us up. You know, the next episode's coming up. We got special things going on. So, you know, stay tuned and we'll keep you informed. See you later.